the qualities that one develops when he performs devotional service, bhakti yoga. So here's him pointing out these qualities further substantiates the theme of chapter 12, which is that bhakti yoga is the highest process or the best process for self-realization or God-realization or the best method for spiritual advancement. After describing or answering Arjuna's question, which path is better, the impersonal or the personal path, Krishna says that those who worship my personal form engage in worshiping me with transcendental love. They give up everything unto me, and they perform pure devotional service to me and always meditate on me, and I deliver them. And after describing the different levels or stages of devotion, now someone may ask that how can we recognize someone who has attained to bhakti, pure bhakti? So now there are symptoms of one who has attained bhakti. There are external and internal symptoms. So here the internal symptoms are explained. And there are 35 qualities described by Krishna in this list. What is the root cause of all of these qualities? That the heart is surrendered to Krishna and the mind and intelligence are fixed on Krishna. Such a devotee is very dear to the Lord. As Krishna says in each verse. So, let's read these. Adrishta sarva bhutanam maitra karuneva cha nilmamo nirahankara samadukha sukha shami santushta satatam yogi yatatma dhridanishtaha mayarpita mano buddhir yomad bhakta same vriyaham. One who is not envious, but who is a kind friend to all living entities, who does not think himself a proprietor and is free from false ego, who is equal in both happiness and distress, who is tolerant, always satisfied, self-controlled, and engaged in devotional service with determination, his mind and intelligence fixed on me. Such a devotee of mine is very dear to me. Prabhupada comments. Coming again to the point of pure devotional service, the Lord is describing the transcendental qualifications of a pure devotee in these two verses. A pure devotee is never disturbed in any circumstances, nor is he envious of anyone, nor does a devotee become his enemy's enemy. He thinks, this person is acting as my enemy due to my own misdeeds, so it is better to suffer than to protest. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, it is stated, Tatain Lukampam Susamik Shamano Bunjana Evatmakritam Vipakam. Whenever a devotee is in distress or has fallen into difficulty, he thinks that it is the Lord's mercy upon him. He thinks, thanks to my past misdeeds, I should suffer far, far greater than I am suffering now. So it is by the mercy of the Lord that I am not getting all the punishment I am due. I am just getting a little by the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, he is always calm, quiet, and patient, despite many distressful conditions. A devotee is also always very kind to everyone, even to his enemy. Nirmama means that a devotee does not attach much importance to the pains and trouble pertaining to the body, because he knows perfectly well that he is not the material body. He does not identify with the body, therefore he is free from the conception of false ego, and is equipoised in happiness and distress. He is tolerant and satisfied with whatever comes by the grace of the Supreme Lord. He does not endeavor much to achieve something with great difficulty. Therefore, he is also always joyful. He is a completely perfect mystic because he is fixed in the instructions received from the spiritual master. And because his senses are controlled, he is determined. He is not swayed by false arguments because because no one can lead him from the fixed determination of devotional service. He is fully conscious that Krishna is the eternal Lord, so no one can disturb him. All these qualifications enable him to fix his mind and intelligence entirely on the Supreme Lord. Such standard of devotional service is undoubtedly very rare, but a devotee becomes situated in that stage by following the regular principles of devotional service. Furthermore, the Lord says that such a devotee is very dear to him, for the Lord is always pleased with all his activities in full Krishna consciousness. So, very nice commentary. Prabhupada explains all these points and kind of sews them together in a very smooth and co-related way. Actually, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur also comments in this way, like there's two people having a conversation, and one asks questions, and then the other one answers, and then they go from one quality to the next, and there's a kind of sequential, logical progression of the points, which I guess I could read to you, because I did bring it, if you're interested. But Adveshta Sarva Bhutanam is important. It means that he doesn't envy any living entity. Actually, Prabhupada makes comments on all of these, and I'll read them. Attains peace. What are the qualities of one who has attained peace? Adveshta Sarva Bhutanam. That he doesn't hate in return when someone hates him. He doesn't become his enemy's enemy. Rather, he deals in a friendly way. Maitra karuna evacha. That's the next line. If you look in your, you should look at the verse. So, if someone is not envious of others, then means he's friendly to everyone. Maitra, and karuna means merciful. So, if someone's dvesha, that follows to the next point. Automatically, he's friendly and merciful. And he prays, Maitra means he prays that these people who hate him, they shouldn't have an improper mentality. He prays for them. And Prabhupada talks about this also in his lecture. Now, we're being very intimately connected because we're all sons of God. Krishna says in the Gita, Sarvayoni Shakuntaya, Aham Bija Pradapita. Krishna says, I am the seed-giving father. Not only human society, but there are other societies. Animal society, bird society, bee society, vegetable society, insect society, aquatic society. They are also Krishna's sons, God's sons. Therefore Krishna says, one who is actually a devotee and wants to be very dear to me, his qualification must be Adveshta Sarvabhutana. He must be non-envious to all living entities. Maitra. Treat them just like your friend. A devotee is a friend to everyone. He does not want to kill even an ant or a mosquito. A place where Prabhupada mentions Jesus Christ. Here it is. When he's talking about Kshami, that's at the end of this verse. Okay, we'll come to that. Alright, so, in Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, I guess I'm kind of weaving these two commentaries together here. He says, so what type of discrimination must a man possess to actually act like this? And then he says, he doesn't have a possessive spirit. He doesn't envy or hate anyone. He doesn't use discrimination, it's not philosophizing to become peaceful, but it's due to his connection with the Lord. Then someone asks, what if someone beats him with shoes or slaps him? Then the answer is, sama dukha sukha kshami. He's equal, like Haridas Thakur, in happiness and distress. On the contrary, he thinks this is the result of my past karma, and this is helping to finish my prarabdha karma. Instead of envying, he therefore respects. He forgives and tolerates. Only a tolerating person can forgive. Then he says, can a person like this actually survive in this world? And then he says, yes, because he's santushta satatam yogi, because he's satisfied in all circumstances. He's satisfied with by whatever he gets from providence. Anyway, it goes on. Satatam yogi, he's continuously engaged in devotional service. He remains satisfied for the purpose of devotional service. A person in spiritual life should endeavor to maintain his life. This is not material. So, what in the case he doesn't get his needs to maintain his life, the person asks. Then he says, yatatma. He doesn't become agitated and lose his peace and become disturbed. But his mind may become disturbed. What should he do? He remains in fixed determination, dhrita nishchaya. So in this way do you see the sequence? If you're looking at the verse, then you can understand. He doesn't take help from any other processes. What is the root cause of these qualities? Well, he has fixed his mind on me. Such a devotee is pleasing to me. So, Prabhupada picks up from Karuna. I left off. So, Karuna means kind. A devotee is kind to everyone. It's not that Krishna consciousness should only be spread in India or only amongst the Brahmins or amongst the Hindus. No. A Krishna conscious person will preach Krishna consciousness all over the world as far as possible. That is called karuna. Nirmama means without claiming any personal proprietorship or any nepotism. Nirmama, everything belongs to Krishna. That is the fact. Krishna says, Bhoktaham Yogyanam. Sarvaloka Maheshwam. He is the proprietor. God is actually proprietor of everything. Why shall I claim this is mine? Nothing belongs to me. Everything belongs to Krishna. That is Krishna consciousness. Nirahankara means this false egotism. I am this body. I am Indian, American, I am Hindu, I am Muslim. No. Nirahankara means I am Krishna's servant. That is Nirahankara. Ahankara means my identification, what I am. Now, my identity is with this material world. I am Indian, I am American, I am this, I am that. That should be negated. We must come to the right conclusion that I belong to Krishna. I am the son of Krishna. I do not belong to anyone else. This is called Nirahankara. Samadukha Sukha. This material happiness and distress, because I am not this material body, if I am actually convinced. So the pains and pleasures of this material world is due to the body. Just like because I have this material body, I'm feeling some heat. Therefore, fan is required. Similarly, by this body, in the winter season, I shall stop the fan. So under different seasons, my body feels different pains and pleasures. This is called samadhukha. Matra spasha stukantaya shitoshna sukadukada. We should not be disturbed by these material pains and pleasures. We have to execute our spiritual consciousness business. This is called samadukha sukha. Kshami means kshama, excuse. Especially devotee is always attacked by the demons. Even the non-devotee is a father. We have seen it, Prahlad Maharaj's life. Because Prahlad Maharaj was a devotee, even his father was enemy. What to speak of others? So, devotee will have to meet so many enemies. Just like we have got this from the life of Lord Jesus Christ. When he was being killed by others, he said to excuse them. God, they do not know what they are doing. That is devotee's position. Kshami. Always excusing. We have to learn this. Santushta. Satisfied. A devotee should be not A devotee should not be dissatisfied in any condition of life. He should remain satisfied because he knows that my pains and pleasures are now dependent on the will of Krishna. Not just now, always. So if Krishna desires that I should suffer like this, why should I bother? Let me suffer. Satatam yogi. Even in distressed condition, he also thinks of Krishna. Therefore, he is yogi. Yogi nam api sarvesham madgatena antaratmana. A devotee always thinks of Krishna. That is devotee, yogi. Yatatma. He does not neglect his duty, his devotional service. Dhridanishchaya means he believes in the word of Krishna. Krishna says, Sarvadhamam Puritya Mamekam Sharanam Raja. A devotee believes in this, that I have nothing to do, simply to surrender to Krishna. Then my all business is done. That is confirmed in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Krishna Bhakti Kaila Sava Kama Krita Hoy. Simply by serving Krishna, all other duties are discharged. This is called Dhridanishchaya. Krishna says, Sarvadhamam Puritya Raja. And the devotee takes it very seriously. That is called Dhridanishchaya. Dhrida means firmly convinced. Yes, if I surrender to Krishna, all other business is complete. That is confirmed in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. This is the process, Dhridanishchaya. Mayarpita mano buddhya. Mind and intelligence is always focused toward the lotus feet of Krishna. Mayarpita, to the form of Krishna. That is real meditation. Dhyana vastita tadgatena pashantiyam yogina. You come to the temple, take the impression of this Radha and Krishna, and always think of him. That is the highest, topmost yoga system. Therefore, the deity worship is very important. If you are engaged in deity worship, you always get impression of Krishna and Radharani. And if you think of Krishna and Radharani always within your heart, then you become the topmost yogi. Yoman bhakta. In this way, one who executes devotional service, sa me priyaha, he is very dear to me. So if you want to be dear, if you want to be seen by Krishna, if you want to be seen by God, follow the instructions. Follow these instructions and your life will be successful. Okay. Alright, next verse. Yasmanno dijate loko, lokano dijate chaya, harsha marsha bhayad vigar muktaya sachame priyaha. He for whom no one is put into difficulty, and who is not disturbed by anyone, whose equipoise in happiness and distress, fear and anxiety, is very dear to me. So, because the devotee has fixed his mind on Krishna, mayarpita mano buddhir, now he develops the qualities mentioned in the following five verses. And that he has three qualities. He's not put into difficulty by anyone, and he never puts anyone else into difficulty. And he's equipoised in happiness and distress, fear and anxiety. Text 16. Anapeksha shutir daksha udasino gata vyataha savarambha parityagi yomad bhakta same priyaha. My devotee is not dependent on the ordinary course of activities, who is pure, expert, without cares, free from all pains, and not striving for some result, is very dear to me. Oh. Anapeksha means he's neutral. And udasina means he's free from care. And they're very similar. Udasina means that he doesn't take sides when there's arguments or politics. And daksha means expert, means he's expert in the philosophy of his tradition. And gatavyata means that he's free from all distress, that even if he's disrespected, he doesn't feel disturbed. And savarama pranyagi means he renounces endeavor It means that he doesn't strive for his own personal result, but he strives to please Guru and Krishna. Prabhupada says also, the pure devotee does not endeavor for anything which is against the principles of devotional service. For example, constructing a big building requires great energy, and a devotee does not take to such business if it does not benefit him by advancing his devotional service. He may construct a temple for the Lord, and for that he may take all kinds of anxiety, but he does not construct a big house for his personal relations. It says, anapeksha, neutral, just see. When I went to America with 40 rupees, Sumati Muraji gave me a ticket. I had only 40 rupees. And the 40 rupees could not even be spent there. Then, when I was getting down, I asked the captain, Captain Pandya, I have not got a single dollar with me. So you purchased one of my sets of books. And the captain said, So what is the price, Swamiji? And he said, $16, sir. So he paid me $20. And with that $20, I dropped. Huh? I dropped. It means he got down from the boat. Dropped into America with $20. That's anapeksha. Means being neutral or detached. Good example. 17. Yo na rishyati na dveshti na shochati na kankshati shubha shubha parityagi bhaktimanya same priyaha. One who neither rejoices nor grieves, who neither laments nor desires, and who renounces both auspicious and inauspicious things, such a devotee is very dear to me. Yo na rishyati na dveshti. So he doesn't take pleasure or grieve if he gets a son or a disciple, says the previous acharya's comments. So no sochati na kankshati. So if he gets a son or a disciple, he doesn't rejoice, and if he loses one, he doesn't rejoice. He doesn't lament. Shubha shubha pratyagi. Shubha shubha means auspicious and inauspicious. So it's mentioned that he doesn't want piety to bring him to heaven. He's not concerned with pious results. Prabhupada said, yes, shubha, shubha. When I was in Boston, I was thinking that, I have come here. How will they receive me? As soon as I say that, no meat eating, no illicit sex, no gambling, and no intoxication, immediately they will say, please go home. Don't preach here. All right. So for 1 year, there was no success. You see? And I was going to the shipping company. When your next ship is coming to return back? So the manager was telling, Swamiji, you're always inquiring, but you never go. I said, yes, when I'm too much frustrated, I come here to ask you. Then again I go back. Let me see, 2 months more. I was going like that. Nobody was there with me. Another example. Whether it's auspicious or inauspicious. So he was there, and it seemed to be inauspicious. There was no disciples coming. Continue. Transcending auspicious and inauspicious out of duty. Please chant. Samashatra cha mitre cha tatamana pamanayo shitoshna sukadhukeshu samasanga vivajitaha turya nindastu tirmangi santushto yena kena chit aniketa sthira matir bhaktiman me priyo nanaha. One who is equal to friends and enemies, who is equipoised in honor and dishonor, heat and cold, happiness and distress, fame and infamy, who is always free from contaminating association, always silent and satisfied with anything, who doesn't care for any residence, who is fixed in knowledge, and who is engaged in devotional service, such a person is very dear to me. So, one develops these qualities according to his advancement. They manifest more the further advanced he is. There's different kinds of devotees, sanishta, parinishtita, and nirapeksha. And according to the advancement, he'll manifest these qualities to a greater or a lesser degree. Now, Prabhupada mentions, we may find some repetition in the descriptions of the qualifications of a devotee, but this is just to emphasize the fact that a devotee must acquire all these qualifications. Without good qualifications, one cannot be a pure devotee. Harau avaktasya kato mahadguna. One who is not a devotee has no good qualification. One who wants to be recognized as a devotee should develop the good qualifications. Of course, he does not extraneously endeavor to acquire these qualifications, but engagement in Krishna consciousness and devotional service automatically helps him develop them. So here, again, we have some repetition. Sama shatra cha mitra cha. He's equal to friends and enemies. It doesn't mean that he's callous or indifferent to people or cold or impersonal. It seems that there are people that have this misconception, because in many places it says that we are meant to be equal to friends and enemies. But it doesn't mean that we're not friendly to devotees. In order to try to come to an artificial platform of being equal to friends and enemies, one may just become callous to everyone. But this is not what Krishna is talking about here. He's talking about just being friendly to everyone and respectful to everyone. Tata mana pamanayo. And the person is also equal in honor and dishonor. And that comes with time, usually. Because certainly we will all have these opportunities, times when we're honored and times when we're dishonored. And usually in the beginning we become very disturbed when we're dishonored and very happy when we're honored. But then gradually we see that we have to tolerate being dishonored. And then we become kind of indifferent to being honored. And then gradually it doesn't bother us very much as time goes on. Shitoshna sukadukeshu. Also, he's equal. So the word sama means equal to all of these things. To the heat and the cold, and to happiness and the stress. And again, sama sanga vivarjita. He's free from all, he gives up all bad association. Tulya ninda stutir moni, again, it's equal to praise and to criticism. Because he feels that Krishna may be correcting him for something that he may need to be corrected. I remember once I was in the London temple, and I think we just had finished a lunch program where we gave a lecture and served prasadam and talked with guests. And afterwards, in the hallway, there were many guests congregating there and talking. And there was one fellow that I'd never seen there before. He had long hair, and he has a pretty lady friend with him. And I was speaking to one lady, and I said, "Oh, where are you from? What do you do? Are you visiting here? Oh, that's nice. Good to see. Nice that you came here. Please come again." And then I turned to him, and then I was in the same mood. I said, "Oh, and who are you, where are you from? And what do you do?" And he looked at me and said, "You ask too many questions. Why do you care where I'm from? It doesn't matter. I am the spirit soul just like everyone." It's sort of like preaching to me. You know? You shouldn't see us all on the external platform. "Oh, I'm from this country. I'm from that country." Or and he was really, you know, giving me the sauce in front of other people, and I was just standing there. And it was kind of interesting. I mean, sometimes when things like this happen to you, it's interesting how you react. You can, you know, see yourself, how you react. And at first I was a little disturbed and I kind of felt with like arguing with him. But then I realized that, first of all, it's not going to help. Because if I argue with him, he'll just become more angry. And then I began to think that, well, maybe Krishna's trying to tell me something through this person. Maybe I should listen to what he says. And he continued, because he was like a big talker. And he had a lot to say, you know. I guess he had some kind of chip on his shoulders. And he kept saying more and more and more. And I actually stood there and I listened to everything he said. And then gradually, you know, he just walked away. And I folded my hands and I said, okay, you're right, I'm sorry, I'll think about this, you know. And he said, yes, you should think about this. You know. This Krishna gives us opportunities to rise above, you know, criticism or praise, things like this. Santushtu yena kenachit again means he's satisfied. Aniketa means he's without any residence. And we know when Prabhupada was in Mayapur, he was living in a grass hut. And the devotees were building the temple. And of course they had a very nice room for Prabhupada. And when they finished the room, they came to Prabhupada. They said, Prabhupada, your room's finished now, can move you there. And Prabhupada said, no, I don't want to move out. I want to stay here. And they were dumbfounded. What? Prabhupada, but we've made a nice room for you. It's all marble. It's nice and big and very much more comfortable there. Don't you want to move there? He says, no, I like it here in the hut. This is the mode of goodness. He said, big palatial building with marble, that's passion, mode of passion. But I like the mode of goodness. You think it's better there because you're all in the mode of passion. But I'm in goodness, so I like it here in the hut. And the devotees kind of went, they didn't know what to say. They just walked out. And then they thought about it and some devotees had some ideas how to, you know, bring Prabhupada into the room. So then they came back to him and they said, but Prabhupada, we really think that you should move into the room because you're the representative of the parampara and people should respect you. And if they just see you in a little grass hut, they're not going to respect you. So it's better, as you're the representative of the parampara, then it would be better for the people if you're in a more respectable dwelling. And then Prabhupada started listening to him. And then they said, and further, that it's bigger there. So you'll be able to preach to more people. And the people will be more comfortable because there's nice places to sit. And it's hard for people to respect someone who's in a grass hut. They'll respect you more there and they'll take more seriously your message. So then Prabhupada said, all right then, we'll go then. And then he moved up. But for himself, he wasn't concerned to. He was happy living in the grass hut. And that place is still there when you go to Mayapur. And the same thing, similar thing happened in Bhubaneswar. Someone's from Bhubaneswar? Yeah, Orissa. So when Prabhupada visited Bhubaneswar, at that time, the temple area was like in a thick jungle, infested with snakes and scorpions and so forth. And it was so far away from the city that even during the daytime, people were afraid to go out there because of dacoits or gundas, you know, low-class people that may be lurking in the forest. So they had arranged some nice quarters in the state government hotel and for Prabhupada so that he could be comfortable. So they offered to bring him there. Prabhupada said, no, I refuse to go there. He said, I'll only go to the grass hut which was built by my disciple, Gaur Govinda. And I'll stay only in this place. And so that's what he did. He just went there and he stayed in the hut. So Prabhupada said, Aniketa. Automatically Aniketa. There was no place, no place to live, no money when he went to America. Automatically Aniketa. And then he says, sannyas means Aniketa. Now we have got 100 temples. We have got 100 temples, but Krishna does not allow me to stay more than 8 days. I am dependent on Krishna. If he allows, Hare Krishna. Sometimes, he says, sometimes I think when I was simply depending on Krishna, those days, now I have to depend on so many disciples. Prabhupada's laughing. They are good disciples. They are bringing everything. I am simply ordering. Still I think, that was better before, to depend on Krishna. Yechu dhamam mritam idam yathoktam paripasati shraddha dhanamat parama bhakta sti tiva me priyaha. Those who follow this imperishable path of devotional service and who completely engage themselves with faith, making me the supreme goal, are very, very dear to me. So, yay, those who dharmam ritam idam, they engage themselves on this nectar religion, dharmam ritam, this path of nectarian religion, with faith, shradhana mat parama, taking me as the ultimate goal, the real object of life. And such devotees are ativa me priya, the most dear to me, very, very dear to me. So, ativa is the superlative prefix or adjective, it means supermost, topmost. And so it means that these devotees, they're better than those who are perfected in the paths of the other yoga systems, like Jnana Yogis or Ashtanga Yogis. Therefore this word ativa is used. And Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says that these characteristics are not material qualities. And then the word two is indicating the introduction of a new idea. That in the previous verses, it was describing a devotee who's focusing on one of these qualities and is developing one of these qualities. But in this verse, it's talking about a devotee who's developing all of these qualities. So he's very, very dear to me. So a sadhaka, he's dear to me because he's developing one or a little bit of these qualities. But someone who's perfected, who actually has these qualities, he's very, very dear to me. And please notice in the verse which was the springboard for this entire section. Who, of all of the yogis, the one who he always thinks of me within Shradavan, he has great faith, he worships me with love. That Same Yuktata Mamada, he is the highest of all of the yogis. So Krishna is talking about the person, he has this faith, he's Shradavan. And now here, and this was the springboard of this whole section on bhakti, all six chapters. And now in 12:20, which is the end, the last verse of this section, Krishna uses the same word, shradhana mat parama. So the person, he's engaging himself in devotional service with faith. So the entire six chapters dealing with bhakti are all based upon faith. Right? 7 to 12. Because the practice of devotional service is dependent on this. the entire process, every step of the way, one is developing his faith gradually, more and more. His faith is getting thicker and thicker. And he's surrendering to Krishna more and more. Krishna reciprocates with him more and more. And then when Krishna reciprocates, then his faith increases more. And then he surrenders more. And then Krishna sees that, and then reciprocates more. And then the devotee gets that reciprocation, he feels enlivened, his faith increases, then he surrenders more. And it goes like this, all the way up. Vajana Kriya, Vajana Vritti, Nishta, Ruchi, Sakti, all the way up to Prema. From verse 2 through the end, from Mayavesha Manoye Mam, fixing the mind on me, through Yetu Dhamma Mitamidam, this religion of eternal engagement, the Supreme Lord has explained the processes of transcendental service for approaching Him. Such processes are very dear to Him, to the Lord, and He accepts a person engaged in them. The question of who is better and who is engaged in the path of impersonal Brahman, one who is engaged in the path of impersonal Brahman, or one who is engaged in the personal service of the Supreme Personality of God, it was raised by Arjuna. And the Lord replied to him so explicitly that there is no doubt that devotional service to the Personality of God is the best of all processes of spiritual realization. In other words, in this chapter, it is decided that through good association, one develops attachment for pure devotional service and thereby accepts a bona fide spiritual master, and from him begins to hear and chant and observe the regular principles of devotional service with faith, attachment, and devotion, and thus becomes engaged in the transcendental service of the Lord. This path is recommended in this chapter. Therefore, there is no doubt that devotional service is the only absolute path for self-realization, for the attainment of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The impersonal conception of the Supreme Absolute Truth, as described in this chapter, is recommended only up to the time one surrenders himself for self-realization. In other words, as long as one does not have the chance to associate with the pure devotee, the impersonal conception may be beneficial. In the impersonal conception of the Absolute Truth, one works without fruit or result, meditates, and cultivates knowledge to understand spirit and matter. This is necessary as long as one is not in the association of a pure devotee. Fortunately, if one develops directly a desire to engage in Krishna consciousness in pure devotional service, he does not need to undergo step-by-step improvements in spiritual realization. Devotional service, as described in the middle six chapters of the Bhagavad Gita, is more congenial. Compared to the first six chapters, or to the last six chapters. Because it's the direct process of devotional service. So it's better. It's more congenial.